Okay, welcome everyone. Thank you, Susan. Thank you, colleagues. I'd like to, first of all, let you know that the present, you know, we're blessed, I guess, to have a small group here to share, so please don't be shy if you want to speak up and ask a question or something, or, you know, clarification while we're doing it. We've been working together with a lot of us for between 15 and 20 years, so some things we'll assume that everybody knows and maybe isn't the case. We started the help desk in 1999. We had a contest to name the website and to design the logo. So fortunately, one of the grade 11 students in Wamatcook did a beautiful job in creating a logo. We had a contest to name the domain name, and at the time you couldn't get high-level .ca addresses. You know, you had to have .ns.ca or .nb.ca. And since we represented four provinces, we decided to go with .com. We like some native names that were presented, like ilnu.com, which in Mi'kmaq means the people. But we also have Maliseet people in our service area, so we weren't quite sure how one compared to the other and so on. So sixth graders in Eskasoni came up with FirstNationHelp.com, which we still use. But being computer professionals, knowing short names are better than long, we shortened it to FNHelp.com, which didn't take as long until we started getting teased. I need some effing help. And so we still register that name. So, you know, every time I tell adults that story, they can generally remember the domain name. Since this is the group that we're dealing with, I think one of the things, the overarching concept of our efforts have been to bring connectivity to First Nation communities. And with that is an implicit recognition that, as Wittgenstein says, or I'm paraphrasing him to say, the most important thing about the way we think and how we think is the language that mediates our thoughts. And I think this is, you know, in a land of dying Aboriginal languages, this is, you know, very important to highlight. And in terms of translating that into technological needs, allowing people to be producers of information as well as consumers drives the need for broadband in the communities. We had a recent focus group, and Michelle Marshall Johnson, a native educator, said it's all there in the language, the connection to nature, the respect for elders, and the circle of life. So it's important, I think, to not undervalue the importance of empowering people to be able to use their native languages. So in 2003, we made a strategic decision. DSL, or high-speed internet, would basically limit First Nation students and others to be content consumers rather than producers. Broadband, which is the two-way synchronous bandwidth, allows for the production of information as well as the consumption of information. So in that time, in 2003, when that decision was made, there was only one Atlantic First Nation community that had connectivity on par with the provincial schools in the area. The rest either had dial-up or one-way satellite connections. Now, 10 years later, we've got 26 schools with fiber optic connectivity. Three still have copper frame relay T1 connections in Labrador and Newfoundland, where fiber is not available. And four early education centers do have DSL. So anyone who thought that dial-up or one-way satellite connectivity was sufficient never sat in a classroom where the classroom of elementary school kids were clicking to wait to hear a Mi'kmaq word or a song or a story, and waited and waited. So one of the driving forces that we had was video conferencing. I'll call it the killer app. This is an example from 2004.
I'm Lyle Julie. I'm from Sydney, Nova Scotia.
It's good to meet you. And you're a student where? Exactly.
In case some of you couldn't see that in the small insert window, the young student reached out to shake hands with this person halfway across the country. So that was one of those early examples of video conferencing. When we brought the whole concept of video conferencing forward, some of the people in Brian's, the region that Brian was serving, the Ojibwe and the Cree, we thought we were going to have to wave our hands and explain all these new technologies and so on, and they said, you know, basically, we understand that. You know, our legends told us of a time when people would be able to see each other and talk over great distances. One of my personal experiences was with then-Senator and formerly Chief Miles Benn, pictured here, who I think gave me some perspective. He was about 80 at the time. He's since passed on. He was asked to do the opening prayer in Sioux Lookout, Saskatchewan, and he was really too interested in everything that was happening. There were Ottawa was connected. We were connected across the country from the Atlantic to BC. And he said, you know, when I was young, we didn't have so much. Not even paper and pencil. We just had slate and chalk. He looked in the camera and he held his eyes and he said, now I can see all the way to Ottawa. I think it's so powerful, the way that he can express that. And you know, it's indicative, I think, of the progress that's been made. So when we moved into broadband and we enabled content development, students can become content producers instead of just consumers. The students and teachers can easily collaborate to share content. In my PowerPoint, I've got links to all of these, and I'll just show a selected little bit of multimedia in this because we're in a relatively tight time frame. I remember we used to have contests, art contests. First time I saw the youngster, a junior high student, that painted that moose, I thought, that's got to be paint by numbers. And I looked at it real closely. No, that's a junior high student that can do that. We did a music CD on Willing Willowy, a Christmas CD. 11th grader from Conn River, Newfoundland, did the artwork, and the students did the content. The cultural crafts was a way of, I just used one example. This is a talking stick, and a talking stick in a Native circle gets passed, and however long that person holds that stick, they have sort of the floor and they talk. And this young person described how the stick worked for him. So again, sort of small ways in which students can, you know, share their knowledge, connect with their aunts and their uncles and so on. It's very important culturally to have some of these stories. Here's a little one that uses claymation to get the concept across.
Long ago, when the world was young, the people and the animals lived in harmony. Among the animals also lived the giant dinosaurs. The dinosaurs were playful and did not intend to harm anyone. Unfortunately, because of their enormous size, they would accidentally step on other animals. Creator saw what was going on and he realized he had to do something. He picked up the dinosaurs and took them up north. He told them they could play in the waters. As they played around in the water, It splashed into the high sky and made very beautiful lights. The creator smiled. That's how the northern lights were created.
So it's interesting when you have that. Sometimes people who used to be opposed to technology in the community said, wow, this is a powerful way to reach the children. Video conferencing has brought us visitations. Elijah Harper's pictured there, Donald Marshall Jr., two national chiefs, then Prime Minister Paul Martin, authors Robert Munch, native actors Adam Beach and Glenn Gould is connected directly with the students. We also have archives of elders.
Well, I'm hoping our children write. And don't let the teacher put your work in the garbage. Save it. Put it up high somewhere on a shelf. And when you're old as I am, or when I first put out a book, I was in my 30s, you can do the same thing. Who knows, maybe your work will be better than mine.
Some of you who may not recognize that, it's Rita Jo, known Mi'kmaq poet. Her most famous work was They Took Our Talk. We have a number of songs, stories, and so on our website. Every time I'm looking for government funding, I like to play this one.
Tanchuna guzetni azich kamdinibdu Ahuelau gazagubu echpavaniya.
So that goes, those of you who have the French heritage will recognize that, but that song plays through in Mi'kmaq, French, and then English. It's the power of producing content. We've had a national video conference on suicide prevention called After the Thunder, the Simon Bishop Story. We had 160 First Nations sites across Canada connected to that video conference, which highlighted the CD that the students had made. You know, and I just have to say, like, ask any telco, can you do 160 sites across the country? And of course, the salesperson will say yes, but if they were to attach a price to that, it would be astounding. We have a Red Road project. The Red Road is a traditional concept of walking in harmony with the Creator, avoiding the pitfalls of substance abuse and so on. There's plenty of those examples. Brian's told me now I'm basically out of time here, so I'm not going to play one, but there's one here that's, you know, where the kids speak in their native tongue to explain where somebody gets booted off of the team. There's an amazing one, a DVD that we have on FASD. The concept involves a woman being brought for criminal charges for drinking during the time that her child was, while she was carrying her child. And it came from an experience with video conferencing where a person joined us by a video conferencing and talked about fetal alcohol spectrum disorder in the first person. We have videos. I was quite surprised when I went online. I saw 120 of them. The Idle No More conference that we discussed, one of the chiefs in our region wanted to do a video conference and had people connected from across the country. And that one attracted over 5,000 viewers on the web stream. This one, this black and gray video here on bullying is just absolutely amazing. You know, I'm going to respect my time limitations and not play that, but it's as good as you'll see on MTV. And there's you know, there's language content that's being developed. So we do, as a, we're proud participants in this collaboration of the First Nations Innovations Project. And I'm going to play one last little 30-second or so slide here.
In the 21st century, the whole world is connected. Together, we are the global community. Technology has made this possible. It is our right as human beings to be part of this community. Our mission is to help the First Nations people join this community. We can share our culture with the rest of the world, and the world can share with us as well.
So I just think that's amazing when young people have the capacity to be the ones creating the message instead of receiving the message. And in Mi'kmaq, if I were to be thanking one of you, I would say Wallalein. If I were to thank all of you, I would say Wallaliel. And people who would want to do that could just hear
Wallaliel.
Wallaliel. Thank you very much.